has been a fixture of Bridletown for a very long time, and I can't remember the last time that I actually heard his testimony. So looking forward to that this morning. So why don't you have a seat there? So Robert, why don't you just start off by just telling us a bit about your life before you came to Canada, your schooling, where you met Beth, when you got married, things like that. So why don't you just start off with that?
Come to Canada is not really our region, our idea before. I know in China, I was here 2001, and at that time, a lot of people have American dream. They love to go U.S. or somewhere, but this was not a dream. Me and Beth, we love Chinese culture. We love Chinese literature, and my Beth can write very beautiful Chinese. I say yes, something so, but I don't know when something happened, and in 2001, there was economic reform. So, the pattern, and we work in a government-run company, and the salary is not enough to cover our life. So, we think about something we can do to change. So someone told us, so immigrant to Canada, that's a one way. And we thought about that, but my mom was already retired. Then she said, you are the only child in the family. You want to go to, so no way. I said, okay, if there's no way, we're trying to find another way. So I quit my job in the company, which is government company, and I trying to look for a better job. And in 2 years, I changed, I think, 4 to 5 jobs.
Wow.
So it seems like God closed all the door. And so then immigrant to Canada become very popular in my city. So then my mom said, I think Spirit talked to my mom, said, if this is the only way my son can get better, and so you can go. He said, don't worry about me, and I'm fine. My mom is a very strong personality person, so she was swimming every day, and she looking after my dad. So he said, don't worry about me, you go. Then we think about it, then we came. That's very.
And when did you get married? What year? This is a test.
You
better pass this test.
It's 1991.
1991.
Yeah.
Wow.
So been married for.
That is great. Is that correct, Beth?
It's correct. Correct.
You know, okay, Beth. He just feels like he's been in love with you longer than 1992.
Yeah, married,
right?
Already.
So 91 is really in his heart when he wanted to marry you, but he had to wait to 92.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Robert. Yeah. I won't ask you what day then. If you can't get the year right, then that's for sure. Now, did you have any spiritual part in your life at all when you were in China?
Yes. That was interesting. And just before I came to Canada, I just happened to very interested about the some spiritual thing, and I think my mom brought several books home. I start read it, and I start practicing something like Taoism, Confucian rhythm, and I do believe there is a spiritual power in this world, because I have been having migraine, you know, the physical headache from my very little boy. It bothers me all the time, so almost every 2-3 days it happens. So when it happens, you can't do anything. So even I got married, I still have this one. So my parents took me to the doctor. They couldn't find anything. So I learned it's called migraine. It's a word. So you just regularly have a headache, and that's all. And there's no way you can be healed. And so then I hope there's a spiritual people. They have a healing. They can do that. So I become too involved with this kind of thing. I do see a lot of people do have the power. They have a very strong power. They can change things, and they can do some prophesy. They can tell the future. So but later something happened. I found some of them very evil. So it's terrible. So our family got kind of hurt. I don't want to go detail. So later I realized this is terrible, because you don't know who is righteous, who is evil, and there's no way you cannot go. Police said this is something happened, and police said that's weird. So then Beth and me decide we don't go this kind of thing. So we better find a better job and working hard and making money. So don't touch anything with something this. So then,
so God was continuing to close the doors for jobs in China. So when you came in 90 or 2001?
2001 in May. And
it was just you, yourself, right?
Yeah.
Beth wasn't with you at that time.
Because we don't know anything about Canada. So we don't know what kind of country, what kind of people I'm going to be able to survive. No. So this it's a family immigration. So all the people got approved, but we decided to, I come first, see if I can survive or not. If I can survive, so then take the family, come over. So it's 2001 May, I came to Scarborough, and it's just not far away. It's 46 Dunbar Way. I rent a basement and start my life.
And when do you remember when you first started attending the church, and what made you start to come to attend the church?
Well, I was alone, so I need a friend. I didn't have any friends. So here you can imagine, and so there's a lady, is my mother-in-law's friend's daughter, and she lives in Mississauga. That's the only one. And I know, sometimes I call her, and she gave some instruction, and she helped me find the first job as a general labor working in a factory. That helps me a lot financially. So, but other than that, I don't know anybody. So I like to making friends. So someone, I like practice my English, and so someone said there's ESL and there's something in the church. Mm-hmm. I don't have any purpose for pursuing God. That's be honest. I just come to making friends, and so that's the reason.
2001, Jennifer, were you here in 2001?
Yes.
Because I think Jennifer is interesting. So those that don't know the church history, we had lost our previous pastor in 98, and Trevor in 1999 had just become our senior pastor. And I remember we were down, to a smaller congregation, even to what we are right now. And we had tons of meetings, and we just remember as a congregation, we just sort of were like, God, do you want us to stay open? Do you want us to close? Like, what is going on? And we just prayed and prayed and prayed. And really, God was just saying, you know what? Why don't you just find out the needs that are in your community? And just try to meet the needs of those that are in the community. And that was one of the first things that there was Trevor, and then Peter Korpot was here, that we started in ESL. And then Mike North started heading that up. And then it grew to, for a couple of years, we were getting about 25 or 30 on Wednesday nights coming for ESL. And it's interesting because a lot of them were the same. They would come from different countries and had no friends, didn't understand English. And so we were just here to help them learn English, and if we could get an opportunity to talk about God, that we did. And it's amazing that how many people actually came from the ESL and started attending our church more. So it was a great ministry that we had at that time. So you started coming to the ESL, and then do you remember what made you come to actually attending the church on the Sundays? Or?
Yeah, I come to ESL. I made a lot of friends in this church. I found that these people, they have a beautiful heart, as the people I never met before. They are so honest, and they are so friendly, so I like to be around with them. Then I start to know about the Bible, and I have no intention to be involved, but it's good for knowing something about the Western culture, knowing something about the you know, the other religion. So I think the first Bible verse very struck me is the, I think it's in Isaiah somewhere, said, "I am the Lord, and who created heaven, who made the earth. I am the Lord, and I am the God. There's no other." So he said, "Apart from me is no other God." I think this verse is really good. So I never heard any, you know, I started the Taoism and Confucianism and even the Buddhist. There's a lot of theory, but no one verse so clear. It's kind of, it's declaration, so it's simple. Said, "I am the one, the biggest one, so apart from me, no." Mm-hmm. This is something first start to touch my heart. I said, this is really kind of thing I never met before. And then I also attend Sunday service, you know, anything like potluck, like anything activity, I come. I'm alone, so I start to learn all the biblical knowledge, and I think I kind of agree, but in my mind I don't have a intention to be involved. Also, it's no hurry, right? I have a lot of things to do. So spiritual thing, we can wait. So.
And do you remember the day then when you became, or the night, whenever it was that you became a Christian, when you made that decision?
I think there's one thing, if you call the touch, there's one thing God touched me as there's an event. So one day I went to the Pacific Mall, and I trying to buy something like a camera, and so you can talk with, I can talk with the bass, we can see each other. At that time, there's not a lot of computer with the camera, right? So that's a good thing. So I went there, and I couldn't buy a good price one, so I didn't get it. So, and I was frustrated, and I have a migraine comes up. So when I have a migraine, one thing I cannot do is on the bus. It's a classic, so said I don't want it on the bus. I can walk back to here. So, but there was raining day, and so I don't have umbrella. So I just feel a little bit stopped. So I said I need to walk, but during, if there's a rain, I will be get trouble. Then there's one idea come to my mind. I said, so the God is creator of the universe. If he want to do something, he can, right? I said, if you want to stop the rain just for, I think it's a 45 minutes walk, so you can do that, right? Can you? It's just first mine, and I think it's my first prayer. But I didn't take it very seriously. I just think about it and start to walk. And in the middle, I think, I suddenly realized there's a ring everywhere. Even in the other side of the road, there's a lady, you know, he I don't know why he's not in the car, and he put his plastic bag running to the house, and on this side, my side, is no ring, and so I can walk. This is interesting, right? So, but maybe just by accident, so I don't care. So then I keep walking, I'm working into this community, just 46 Dunbar Way, that's my house. I still remember my first room I rent. So, and then I found it's still not raining for so long, right? And suddenly I feel this is not by accident. It's something spiritual, right? And then I start to realize. And a few weeks, the Pastor Richard said there was always a touch. So it's heaven and earth, God and the people. So sometimes people's heart become like children, right? So this Bible verse said, unless you become like children, you won't enter the kingdom of God. So I think at that time, my heart, like a child, I said, I feel something is really happened. I think it's God maybe hold the ring, you know. And I say something, and in my heart, I said, Lord, I know it must be you. Keep the ring not falling on me. I said, this is the gate. So now I'm okay. So you must be very patient with me. Are you feel tired for so long, 40 minutes? I said, no, I'm okay. If you want to release the ring, and you can do now. So I said to myself in my heart, but this really struck me. So when the last word I said, now you can release. And suddenly the water, you know, wow, come out. I was so scared. So I ran to the gate and I opened the gate. And I have to open the door on the side of the house. Then I running into that, I opened the door on my room. And I go inside. I was shaking, you know. And then I knelt down to the floor. I said, I don't know how to pray. I said, Lord, I know you are real God. So I think this is something happened. Then I stand up. I said, I need to do something. I said, I want to join the Bible study. So there was two group Bible study. One is Peter and Rhonda, and another is Mr. Grant and Jane. So then I called Jane. I said, Jane, do you have a Bible study? She always wanted me to join that group. I said, no, that one is too deep. I don't want it, you know. I don't want it. I can attend everything, like even Sunday service and the potluck, ESL, but Bible studies, no, I don't want it. So, but the first thing I said, I want to join the Bible study. And Jean said, we just had last night. Then she said, you know what, tonight, Peter and Rhonda have one, just in the church. So that was my first time I joined the Bible study, and I take very seriously. I started study the book. It was called The Prophecy Has Spoken. The Prophet Has Spoken. This is the book. So I started understand the whole knowledge about the creation, the fall, the salvation, the love of God, and what's the plan. So then I start to... Yeah,
and then you started attending a lot of others. And then I think you came into our small group and started telling the stories. And the funny part about that rain story is I remember one of the first winters that you were here. I don't even know if you remember, but Robert was like, I prayed to God that he would stop the cold and stop the snow, but it hasn't happened. So he's trying to figure out if God could stop the rain on him, then why not the winters, right? But it's hasn't worked out yet again. Now, what was it like telling Beth? We're going to start closing up here, so you made a profession of faith. What was it? Because I remember in our small group, we didn't actually know for a while that he was even married. And then it was when Beth was starting to come back, was starting to come to Canada, that you were starting to get really nervous about, what is going to happen when she gets here. Is she going to want to attend the church? So why don't you talk just a bit about that?
Yeah, I accept the Lord is in the one night after the small group. Mm-hmm. We always have a discussion and a chatting. I love this part, just being together. And one night, Peter and just sit beside me, like friend to friend. And he asked me, after studying for so long, what do you think? What do you think the story of the Bible? What do you think the Jesus, the God, the Creator? And I honestly said, yeah, I think all this true. And then he said, do you want to step in and believe in or become a follower? I said, yes, I want. I think that's the day I accept the Lord to be my Savior, be my God. Then they said, the next steps, you can be baptized. I said, no, this I cannot do, because me and Beth, we have some story and we agree with each other. We never touch this kind of thing. Now I have been gone so far, and so I don't think it's a good idea. And then they said, okay, we don't push you. And I said, Beth will come very soon. So you better, husband and wife, be on the same page. So after 1 year, Beth come. She knows the story, and a lot of friends I made in the church, and they help me a lot. I said, why not just come to meet my friend? So she just came. She said, I want to see your friend, and so you are the person, and I'm wondering how you went through so many things, and you survived. And so she came, and she just loved it. So it's very natural for her to, maybe that would be her.
Well, yeah, we're going to have Beth come up and at some point and give her testimony. Not today, Beth. You're okay. And have her testimony, which would be great, you know. And the thing that was interesting about Robert is when we had a lot of people that are from China who were coming and becoming a Christian or wanting to become a Christian, and a lot of it had to do with they wanted good luck, right? So they thought, you know what? If I'm going to become a Christian, maybe I'm going to get good luck. And what I remember, what impressed us, a lot of people that were from the church a lot with Robert, is went through a lot of hard times. I don't know how many, you talk about how many jobs he went through in China. There was a period of time where Robert went through a lot of different jobs here. And what was great to see is there was either choice of, you know, blaming God and saying, man, ever since I became a Christian, I've lost these jobs, I've lost this. But, you know, Robert's always had that ability that God's just kept him in his heart, and that he trusts God more. It made you trust God more. And then when were you baptized? That was, well, we can get into that later, but you were baptized.
Wow, I think I baptized
a couple of years after, right?
Yeah, either 2002 or 2003.
I was trying to find the records. I think I had 2003 was when that you were baptized. So, well, that's great. And we could go on more and more, but it's really amazing to see how God brings people here. And as a church, right, when we're starting even now looking to what are we going to do in the future, one of the things that we are looking to want to do is to relook at EDSL or some other kind of outreach program like that, to try to minister to those within the community and bring those that aren't Christians into our church so that we can minister to them, and then hopefully they can actually come and like Robert's story and start attending the church more, and then you know, hopefully eventually becoming a Christian. Well, thank you, Robert. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and
Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior, I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection that we will.
You have water?
Thank you. Okay, can you hear me? I'm sorry, I have a very bad cold. I got out of a sick bed. It was mine. Pat said I shouldn't come this morning, but I decided I think I should come. I'd love to tell you what God has done for me. I'm a broken man. I'm a sinner that shouldn't be saved, but by the grace of God, He saved me and made a different person out of me. So I would like to go back in time, if you will bear with me. I was brought up by a mother that was born again Christian in 1941. When I was just a very young boy, we were sent to Forward Baptist Church, Sunday school, and made to go to church. Then my father came home from overseas in 1945. That's when we were allowed to do as we please. Needless to say, I was off and running and on the road to hell. I was not a very nice person. As I grew older, I got bolder and did many things I was ashamed to mention here today. My mother never gave up on me. She always said, "Dennis, you should be a preacher." Oh, I just laughed at her. I knew what I was and what kind of person I was. Then one night, back in the spring of 1988, April the 8th, my life took a drastic turn. I was being threatened by a Hell's Angels motorcycle club that they put a contract on my life that if I didn't pay them $100,000 a year insurance money to leave my business alone, they were going to kill me. And they put a contract on me because I was not going to pay the $100,000. So I told them, "You better kill me, because if you miss, I'm going to kill you." So I was planning on killing them, and they were planning on killing me. So the Hell's Angels out of the USA, they took over the Canadian motorcycle clubs that handled the drugs and the prostitution and the strippers and that kind of stuff. And I was thinking and planning of murdering those who threatened me. So I was in the stripper business. I had young women stripping their clothes off for money. So my mother once again intervened and told me to give my life to Jesus and He would look after me. So I did. On that particular morning, I phoned Huntley Street Ministries that morning, who were having an all-night prayer meeting, and asked them to pray for me. As I went to bed that morning at approximately 5 a.m., I got down on my knees and I invited the Lord, Jesus Christ, into my heart and to take over my life, as up to now I had not done a very good job of it. Two broken marriages, destroyed, business life that was not the greatest. When I looked into the mirror, I saw myself a loser. I had all this money on my desk. It was piled up. It was a large amount of money. The place was busy, busy, busy. But that particular evening, there was somebody walking around who had a Bowie knife on him. And I don't know who it was or where he was, but I knew that in the crowd, and it was packed, the bar was packed, that I was going to get this Bowie knife shoved between my ribs and kill me. So at the end of the night, I was shaking, and I was upset, and I stepped out the back of the bar, and I was under a light at the back doors, and I never go out the back door. I never park in the parking lot on Friday nights, and this particular night I did. And there was a voice from the back of the parking lot, and he says, "Is that you, Dennis?" And without thinking, I said, "Yes." I couldn't see anybody, and all of a sudden I heard the shotguns going off. And I reached my chest and I felt for blood, and I'm looking, and it was so real, I thought that I had a shot and blood would be running down my chest and I would be dead. But this time now, he says, I looked out and he says, "Good night." I never saw the man. I don't know who he was. It was in my imagination and I heard the guns, I guess. But it certainly upset me. I was shaking so bad, I got in my car and I drove home. And this is when I found my mother watching Huntley Street at that time of the morning. So I went up and I got to bed and I went and I said to Christ, I said, if you take me out of this business with enough money to retire so I can continue this lifestyle, I will give you my heart, my soul, and my body. And I will tell everybody I meet about you and what you've done for me and how you saved me. And a week later, a man walked into my business and he says, I like this place. He says, it's really busy. He said, I'll buy it off you. You can't afford it, pal. He said, I'll give you cash. I said, you can't afford it. He offered me a large price, way, way above what I was going to suggest. And I said, if you're serious, you go talk to my lawyer. But within a week's time, the deal was seized and I was gone, and it went down like this, just like clockwork. And I was out of the business. And so on June the 18th, 1988, I was retired from the business. I phoned up the people that I knew in the motorcycle club, and I told them, take the contract off my life. I'm no longer in the business, and you can't do nothing to me because I'm no longer in the business. I'm retiring. And why I was so important was I was vice president for Toronto and president for Ontario over all the taverns in the province. So therefore, if they did to me, then they could threaten the other bar owners in Ontario and they would all follow suit and pay the insurance money. So this is why they put a contract on me. So then my life took a drastic change for the better. Yes, I sold the business. Okay. I have since remarried for the third time, and the last time to a lovely lady who has also given her life to Christ. So together we are growing old together in the world and the lifestyle of Christians. I have since been to India 3 times and Africa 1, working for SIM Missions with a pastor's book set project, giving away 30,000 sets of those books registered to came to train to the training sessions that we're providing for pastors, evangelists, and missionaries. I have also witnessed for Christ in Spain and the Middle East, Egypt, Jordan, and Israel. I'm very active in 2 churches I belong to, Southwest Baptist Church in Florida, and Bridletown Park Church here. While I was in India, I had an experience there. It was so hot. It was 114 degrees temperature, and I was sweating profoundly. And the water would fill an 8-foot tablecloth, and you could wring the water out. What happened was I lost my electrolytes. I turned as white as paper. And Wilf and Jean Rose, who you probably know I was with, they looked at me and they said, Dennis, you are not well. We're taking you to a hospital. So they took me to a hospital, and within seconds, I was in bed with an intravenous, and the doctor says, you've lost your electrolytes, and you're in bad shape. So anyway, I was in the bed, and I was laying there, and all of a sudden, a young little blonde girl came in to visit me, and she had a bandage on the back of her hand where she had intravenous, and she says, I'm being discharged from the hospital today, and I'd like to give you my toiletries, because in an Indian hospital, you get nothing. You don't get toilet paper, you don't get Kleenex, you don't get toothpaste, you don't get nothing. You supply everything yourself, okay? So anyway, I said, thank you very much, and we talked, and she was absolutely pleasant. And then she left. And she left me a book, which is a red book, which is a lady's book, which you come from the States here, right? The red book. Anyway, so I was laying there, and I was enjoying that, and I got to start feeling better, and I thought, I should send her a letter and thank her for what she did. I really didn't thank her enough. So I asked the nurse at the station, I said, who is a little blonde girl across the hall that just got released? There's no blonde girl here. I said, yes, there was. I just talked to her. She just gave me this toilet paper and all this stuff here, the soap and the face cloth and the hand towels and everything. They said, there's no white girl here, and there's no blonde white girl here. This is an Indian hospital, and you're the only white person here. So I spoke to the office. I didn't believe the nurses. And the office says, there's no white person here. You're the only white person here. So I have to say, God's intervention once again. He sent me an angel, and an angel provided for me all my needs. So you never know who you're talking to, whether they're an angel or not. Then, when I was in Africa, I was with Wilf and Jean Rose again, and we were in Africa. And we got into this apartment, and it's a long story, but anyway, the lady that left the apartment for us to be in had a little kitten, and it was cold. So I was sleeping out on the couch, and Wilf and Jean had the main bedroom. And so the little kitten decided to crawl under the sheets and cuddle up with me where I was nice and warm. But I didn't realize that the kitten had fleas. And the fleas bit my right leg, and I was scratching my white leg in the night, and I woke up, and my leg was starting to swell. And by the end of my Sunday on that weekend, my leg was up like this, and it was as black as this here. Okay? And I was in a fever. And we were in church, and I collapsed in church, and they rushed me outside, and they thought I had a heart attack. And there was 5 doctors from St. John's Hospital there. And they said, I think he's had a heart attack. So they rushed me to the hospital, and they had me all wired up. And I woke up out of my being passed out, and they said, your heart's okay, Mr. Billingham. I said, it's not my heart, it's my leg. So the next thing you know, off came my pants with a knife or scissors. They cut off the pant leg, and there's my leg as black as anything. So he said, man, you got an infection. So while I was in the hospital again, laying in my bed, getting intravenous again and getting well, I heard a voice, and it says, Dennis, I want you to go across there and witness to that man across you from you. And there was a man across from me in the bed. He had had an operation, and these people come in, and at supper time, that's when you have visitors there. So while you're eating your supper, you have visitors. They come in and eat your supper. So I hear this voice to go and witness to this man across from me. I said, I don't want to do that. And I said, I heard a radio, TV, something like this, right? Am I hallucinating again? And then I didn't do anything. And across from me was a black man, and all of a sudden this lady and these 2 guys that were with them started beating the daylights out of them in bed. And I called a nurse, and I said, nurse, they're beating the daylights out of this guy behind the curtain. So they go over there, and they stop that pod, and they throw them out of the hospital. Well, anyway, the next night I hear the voice again. Dennis, I want you to go across there and witness to that man. I said, I don't want to do that. That man's like, he's scary. He's black, man. He's scary. And I said, well, if that's you, Lord, I'll go. So I got my pole and my intravenous and my house coat and my slippers, and I walked across to this man, and I said, Jesus has sent me over here to tell you about him. He wants to know you. And so the guy says, I'm a Muslim. I said, oh, yeah, but you're not a very good Muslim. I don't see you praying. I don't see any of your friends praying for you. So I don't think you're a very good Muslim. But Jesus wants to know you. And I'm sent over here to tell you my story and why I am a follower of Jesus Christ. So I did. I witnessed to him, and I left him, and I went back. So I believe it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to me, because that voice was as loud as my voice is to you today. It was loud. It was clear. There's nothing but it. Dennis, I want you to go across there and witness to that man. I look around. There's nobody around me. Everybody else is visiting. Their curtains are all drawn. So, like, it must have been the Holy Spirit speaking to me. So, anyway, that's why I did what I was told. The next morning, I looked for the man, Abdul, his name was, and I said, where is he? He said, he's out on the balcony. So I went out in the balcony, and here's Abdul sitting out in the balcony, and I said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading the Bible. I said, where'd you get the Bible? He said, from the bed beside me, from the drawer beside me. I said, that's funny. I was in a ward, so I went back and I looked in all the drawers beside all the beds. There was not another Bible in that ward. He found the only Bible. Who put that Bible beside his bed? God did. Why was he reading it? God was leading him. And so I was just absolutely thunderstruck. And I left, and the guy beside me and the bed beside me, he was from a bank, and he was a banker. He says, Dennis, I don't know what, But he said, I wouldn't have gone across there and talked to that guy for anything. He said, he's scary. I said, yeah, but I didn't have a choice. So anyway, there's another chance and time in my life that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Had wonderful times. Anyway, let's get back to this. So now as I read this and study the scriptures, I learned that in Psalms 139, verses 13 to 16, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Then as I further studied, I read Ephesians 1:11 to 19. In him you were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I kept asking that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Isn't it amazing? He's called you to be here. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the workings of his mighty strength. I could never understand why he let me go on living the lifestyle I lived for so many years. As I look back, I had at least 6 near-death experiences where I should have been killed. What a marvelous Savior. When I gave my life to Christ, my thoughts were to be a Sunday morning, go to church only. But that is not what has happened to me. I have been surrounded by missionaries and very active Christians that are involved in their churches and in many type of ministries. I have been encouraged, groomed, led to do many things I thought I could never do. But here I am today with you here, fulfilling the Great Commission written. Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. That's exciting. Then in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That is profound. Christ commanded us to go into all the world and speak about the good news to all creation, so that whoever hears and believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's scary. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight and in love. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first in hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Look around you. How many of you are from another country? Just take a look around you. Okay? God brought you here. You did not come on your own. You were predestined to come here and to this church. Amazing, isn't it? The point is that I'm trying to make is God allows us to make mistakes and experience many things in grooming us to be ready for the task that he has planned for us. How he, God, orchestrates our lives and brings us together from all over the world to be this team in this place and in this time. Amazing. I am so grateful to be able to be here today and have this unexpected, exciting opportunity with you as a humble servant of our Lord Jesus Christ to walk and pray with you for the ones that have been so hopelessly lost, but searching for the one real God of all gods. The harvest is ripe and for reaping, and we have been asked, forgiven for this opportunity to be part of this great plan of Christ. May God's blessings be upon each and every one of you as we go now into the streets to proclaim the blessings that Jesus has prepared for us. Let us pray. I honor you as my sovereign Lord. I acknowledge that you are always present with me. You are the only all-powerful and wise God. You are kind and loving in all your ways. I love you and thank you that I am united with Christ and spiritually alive in him. I choose not to love the world and crucify the flesh and all its passions. I thank you for the life that I now have in Christ and ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit that I may live my life free from sin. Amen. And I'd like to make a special note and ask you to pray for Bill Jones, who is here today. Bill, this is your first time here, and his grandson, Nolan, was recently diagnosed as having Crohn's disease. He's facing major surgery. Please put him in your prayers and show him that the power of prayer through God and through Jesus Christ is healing, and we can do something about this. I thank you for your attention. May God bless you all.